Well, saints, I greet you in the wonderful name of our Savior Jesus Christ. I want to thank you for staying. There's Calgary snow out there, and I thank God for you staying. As we always do, we'll make some announcements. We have a number of books there. This one, I didn't mention it earlier, but it's called Charting the Times. It's a wonderful book. It has a lot of different Bible prophecy charts related to end times by Dr. Tim LaHaye and Dr. Tommy Ice. A wonderful book. Again, we have the DVD as well as others. This one's Israel and Bible Prophecy, the 12 DVD set, which is a wonderful pack. We only have one left. We thought we were out, and I found one, so we got one left if you want to get it there. Again, we have the two first, the two comings, the rapture and second coming DVD, the two realities, reality of heaven, reality of hell. And then a brand new book that just came out by a colleague of mine, Dr. David Reagan. It's brand new, probably a few days old. It's called The Rapture, Fact or Fiction. And Dr. Reagan goes in depth to deal with the rapture teaching. He deals with some of the hard subjects in regards to some of the confusion surrounding it. So wonderful book there, very easy to read. He's a good communicator and teacher as well. Then our Bible Prophecy Chart, which is a user-friendly guide designed to help you understand Bible prophecy. We deal with what is Bible prophecy? We talk about the signs of the times. We list all of the indicators. We have one list there. It's called a quick list of the signs, and it lists all the signs of the times on that quick list page. And then we have the Bible prophecy chart in the back, again, designed to help you understand Bible prophecy. Our website, www.according2prophecy.org, as well as the Facebook and Twitter account. Some of you have already signed up at Facebook, and we will friend you. Some have signed up for Twitter. We will tweet with you, all right? We're part of the Truly Family Entertainment Network, as well as our official YouTube channel. You can reach those from our website. And then his channel, which is our weekly program, Your Future in Bible Prophecy. And again, I would encourage you to stop by. I also encourage you to pray for us. If you go to our website there, you look, there's our full itinerary for 2019 and 20. Encourage you, if you go by there, click on it, pray for us. My wife and I, we travel constantly. As a matter of fact, next July, we're going to be in Abbotsford, British Columbia, with David Hawkins Ministries, Hope for Today. So I encourage you, if you want to come up there, we'd love to see you there, all right? Now, my message in closing is a wonderful, I call it a happy message. We've learned a lot of things about what's going on in the world. But, you know, the end of the story is beautiful. The end of the story for the redeemed is exciting. And this is what we're going to see. So we're looking at the eternal state, the new earth, the new heaven, and the new Jerusalem. I want you to bow your hearts as we ask the Lord to bless his word. Father, we love you. And again, always, always, it's an honor and a privilege to stand before you, my creator, my God, my savior, my life, my strength. It's a privilege, oh God, to stand before your people today. And Lord, as we close this last session, I pray that you breathe afresh on this word. Lord, encourage us regarding eternity. Encourage us regarding the future that you have in store for us. Lord, help us to make the world jealous about our eternity. Lord, we bind every scheme, every strategy of the enemy that would try to hinder the word. And Lord, we just ask in this closing session for an open heaven. We love you and we thank you now in Jesus' name. Amen. The eternal state. I love this message so much. I want to quote from this book, Dr. Randy Alcorn. This is a wonderful book on heaven, if you want. He said, if we understand what the new heaven and the new earth means, we will look forward to it. And if we're not looking forward to it, we must not yet understand it. Anticipating our homecoming will motivate us to live spotless lives here and now. And it is so true. A lot of people don't really long for eternity. I'm going to talk about that today. And there are a number of reasons why, because, again, we got all kind of things out there. Now, again, as always, I want to talk about we're currently here in the church age. The next major event is that of the rapture. But we're headed to the end of the story. And the end of the story, we're going to look at the new heavens, the new earth. This is where we will literally spend eternity based on the scriptures. You know, I'm listening to all the speakers. I mean, every one of the messages, they dovetail into each other. I love this message on Mormons, how they have the idea of eternity, how they want a new Jerusalem. I mean, all of them, they have stolen from God. But God has this thing all worked out. And it's so beautiful. It's so clear. And we're going to see that. So we're headed to an eternity with God. And again, it's going to be so beautiful. Now, as always, I'm a topical teacher. We're going to look at why don't we long for eternity. I'm going to give you a number of reasons why people don't long for eternity. We're going to see why a new heaven and a new earth in eternity. Why must God create a new heaven and a new earth? Then we're going to look at, is the earth eternal? And I'll explain this in reference to planet Earth. You know, this current world in which we live on today is an eternal world. And I'll talk to you about it. I'm going to show you some things that God has in store for this current world. Then we're going to see promise of a new earth in eternity. And then we'll look at the new Jerusalem in eternity. And then we'll close looking at the living conditions of eternity, or living conditions in eternity. And again, I love this study. So why don't we long for eternity? I want to start off here. I'm going to show you two cartoons depicting a cynical view of heaven. I collect cartoons about heaven. Look at this one here. This is why people don't want heaven. You got two guys sitting on a cloud with halos. And the guy said, I miss stress. In other words, he thinks that this is all heaven is going to be. We're going to sit around, float on clouds. Look at this other one. This guy, he's in heaven playing harp. And he said, heaven will be downright boring. This is the world's concept of eternity. And a lot of people think this is how heaven will be. I remember growing up as a kid, I was taught that, you know, when I go to heaven, I'm going to get white robes, silver slippers, a halo, and some big old pretty wings. I just fly all over heaven. Come to find out, won't get any wings. That's not true. Unbiblical. You won't be flying around heaven, floating on clouds, eating Philadelphia cream cheese. That won't happen either. You know, so we're going to see today that our eternity is a tangible, practical, touchable, feelable eternity. And we're going to see some beautiful things in regards to it. Now, I want to quote C.S. Lewis from his wonderful book, Mere Christianity. Listen to what he said. If you read history, you will find that the Christians who did the most for the present world were those who thought the most of the next. The apostles themselves who set on foot the conversion of the Roman Empire, the great men who built up the Middle Ages, the English evangelicals who abolished the slave trade, all left their mark on earth precisely because their minds were occupied with heaven. These people had a full understanding about where they were going, and guess what? It affected their present day living. You know, people say, you prophesy, you're so heavenly minded that you're no earthly good. I said, no. I say, I'm heavenly minded that I am earthly good. He also says this. It is since Christians have largely ceased to think of the other world that they have become so ineffective in this. Aim at heaven and you will get the earth thrown in. Aim at the earth and you will get neither. You know, a lot of the New Age guys, they're aiming at earth. They're putting all their attention in man trying to fix this world, man trying to make a utopia. He can't do it. We're going to see man is the problem. God has a way of helping, and God has a way by which he's going to do it. So why don't we long for eternity? Three quick reasons. Because we have false views about eternity. I'm going to talk a little bit about that. Because all of our hope is in our experience in this world. See, all we look at is what we deal with and how we live life today. So therefore, it hinders us in looking forward to eternity. And then last one, because we don't know what the scriptures actually teach about eternity. The reason why people believe we're going to have clouds, we're going to float on clouds, because they don't know what the scripture says. The reason why people, I get this all the time, Brother Perkins, do we become angels when we go to heaven? The answer is no. Your loved ones who have died, they're not angels. A little sparkle in the sky, that's an angel. No, you don't become an angel. You know what? You know why? Jesus didn't die for angels. He died for humanity. Angels and humans are two different class of beings that God created. We never become angels. You're human today. You're going to be a human in eternity. This is how God designed us. And we got to be very, very careful. But because people don't know what the scripture teach about eternity, we have all these bizarre beliefs and teachings. Now, the Apostle Paul in 1 Corinthians 15:19 said something that was just so powerful. He said, if in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most miserable. He said, Christian, if all of your hope is tied to this present world, He said, you are a miserable believer. The reason why, because God has prepared something a whole lot better for us. We're going to see that this current world really is not our home. In the book of Hebrews, the Bible says that we are pilgrims passing through. We're going to see what happened to the earth, the problem of sin that entered the earth. Now, here's another book I want to quote here. I love this book. It's called Living as If Heaven Matters, Preparing Now for Eternity. And he's going to quote here Henry Beecher as he expressed his yearning for eternity. Listen to this. He said, I have drank at many a fountains, but thirst came again. I have fed at many tables, but hunger returned. I have seen many bright and beautiful things, but while I gazed, their luster faded. There is nothing here that can give me rest. But when I behold thee, O God, I shall be satisfied. The heart's eternal longing can only be met by what is eternal. You know, God has placed eternity in our hearts. And the only thing that's going to satisfy that longing is eternity. Eternity with God. No house, no car, no person can satisfy the heart. Like you said, you know, I've done this, I've done that. I've looked at nice things, and while I'm looking at it, they fade. You know, you buy a brand new car and it has the new car smell. It smells so good. Fresh new car smell until the bill comes in. Then it starts diminishing, you know. And then over time, you know, your car fades. You know why? Because it's part of a dead world. You can buy a brand new car, leave it in the garage, don't even drive it for 5 years. Go back to that car and you will see decay. Because it's part of a dead world, a dead system. And we're going to see that God has to fix it. He also quotes here Ted Decker. He said, the gravest concern we now face is the fact that our hope for the afterlife has slipped into slumber. Our hope for heaven has fallen asleep. And when I say heaven, I mean Christ in heaven, for he is the light of heaven, of the afterlife, and of all the glory that awaits us. We have traded rock-solid biblical hope for a fragile humanistic optimism. Believe me, they are not the same. Clearly, scriptural teaching on our irreplaceable hope in Christ has too often been replaced with little homilies that say, hang in there, it's going to get better. We have traded gold for fool's gold. I want to give you understanding based on the word of God. The authority of this word, you can stand on it. God has proven that this book is the right book because of Bible prophecy. As we see prophecies come to pass, we looked at them this week. As we see these prophecies come to pass, we can trust everything that God says that he's going to do for us in eternity. You know, saints, I love living. Today, I love living in Planter. I like nice things. I like to take care of my wife. I like to take care of my children, my grandchildren. But I'm longing for eternity. My hope has gone beyond my present day. And again, we're going to see some beautiful things. Now, the question, why a new heaven and a new earth in eternity? Why must God create a new heaven and a new earth? I'm going to show you why. I'm going to look here. It started with this particular problem. In the book of Romans, chapter 5, verse 12, Paul give us some insight into what happened with Adam and creation. The Bible says here, it says, wherefore, as by one man, sin entered into the world, and death by sin, so death passed upon all men, so that all, for that all have sinned. Here it says, sin entered into the world. This is the problem with this current world. This is one reason why mankind cannot fix it. This is why the New Agers cannot fix this world. They want a utopia, but they can't fix it. I'm looking at the thing with Burning Man. They're going out to Burning Man to release themselves, and also God unleashed a storm on them. They can't even control the storm. Let me tell you something. They're part of a world that's sick, a world that's on the brink. But let me tell you something. God is a good God. You know, they're part of a world that has received a curse. You remember back in Genesis when Adam and Eve sinned and God began to pass out the curse because of mankind's sin? Look at this. Genesis chapter 3, verse 17 through 19. God telling Adam and Eve and even Satan. He's telling Adam, he said, Adam, cursed is the ground for thy sake. In sorrow shall thou eat of it all the days of thy life. thorns and thistles, thorns also and thistles shall it bring forth to thee, and thou shalt eat the herbs of the field. In the sweat of thy face shalt thou eat bread till thou return to the ground, for out of it was thou taken. For thus dost thou are, and thus thou shalt return. The Bible says here, when Adam and Eve sinned, the scripture says sin entered into the world, and not only did sin enter the world, but God cursed everything that was under Adam's dominion. You see the thorns right there? You know, at my wife's anniversary, Valentine's Day, Mother's Day, I make sure I buy her roses that don't have no thorns on it. No thorns. But you know something? Every time you see the thorn, you see the curse of Adam. See, this whole world we're living in today is a cursed world. The sin of Adam have entered planet Earth, and this is the problem. This is why God must create a new heaven and a new earth. When he said new heaven, he's talking about the sky and the universe. Everything has been contaminated. The Bible talks about Satan. You know, people think that Satan is in hell. He's not in hell. The Bible says he's the prince of the air. His kingdom is in the lower heavens. The lower heavens is where Satan's domain is. It's been contaminated. And this is why God must create new heavens and a new earth. Look at this. When Jesus died to pay the price to redeem mankind, the crown of thorns placed in his head represented the curse in the earth. So in his death, he redeemed the planet Earth as well as mankind. On the cross, he died for humanity. He died for our sins, but he also died to redeem this corrupted world by sin. The scripture says that they braided a crown of thorns and he put it in his brow, unknowing that they were literally, he was paying the price to redeem creation. Because when we step into the new world, the Bible said there'd be no more curse. The thorns and thistles. When we see the rose bush in the new world, there'll be no thorns. It's going to be beautiful. The Bible says in Romans 5:19, talking about Jesus, so by the obedience of one shall many be made righteous. Because what Christ has done, we can be born again and be made righteous, not only us, but even creation. You know, all of creation is waiting for a change. And the Bible tells us this. Look at this. In the book of Romans, chapter 8, verses 21 through 23, Paul said, because the creature, we can even say the creation itself, also shall be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. You know, all of creation is going to experience the born-again experience that we experience. The creation is waiting for a change, and it's going to happen. Paul said, for we know that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together until now. And not only they, but ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit. So we're born again. We have a down payment on our salvation, but you know something? We don't have all of it yet. You know why we don't have it all? Because our body has not been glorified yet. How many are you born again, but you have a headache every now and then? You have a backache. You have a, you know, you wake up in the morning. Oh, you know, my wife and I, we wake up now and we have the seniors anthem. Oh, I said, where that's coming from? Oh, I said, why did I say that? It's a seniors anthem. It's letting us know, you know, that we have a down payment, but there's coming a day where we will be born again, spirit, soul, and flesh. I long for the rapture because the rapture will give me that glorified body. While I have no more pain, no more sorrow, no more death, no more sickness, no more Tylenol, no more aspirins, nothing. Glorified body. Paul said here, he said, which have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves, grown within ourselves, are waiting for the adoption to wit the redemption of our body, spirit, soul, and body, born again. We'll be glorified, and this is what we're longing for. So mankind cannot get us to this utopia. Only God can take us to the eternal world that he's prepared for us. Mankind can't do it, and the New Agers can't do it. They want to try, but they can't do it. Now, I want to quote, this is an old Bible scholar, Dr. Oliver B. Green, from his book called Bible Prophecy. And what he's going to do, he's going to paint a scenario of the world as to where we are and how the world literally feeds on itself. But then he's going to talk about the hope in the end. So listen to this. This is amazing. He said, it matters not where we travel, nor where we look. Our eyes meet misery, pain, tears, woe, death, and decay. As we look upon the fields of the mountains and the mountains, we see the scourge of barrenness. We behold the fury of the elements in the mighty storm. We see the destructive and murderous instinct of the animal kingdoms. The very laws which govern vegetation spell out death and decay. A tree grows, it dies, it decays and returns to the dust. An animal is born, it grows, and even if it's not killed and devoured by another animal, its lifespan is short. It dies in a very few years or months and returns to the ground. Death, decay, and groanings are everywhere, in the air, in the land, in the sea. We need but to listen in order to hear the cry of universal suffering, the woeful sigh of groanings which perpetually ascends from the entire creation. How many can see this around us? Creation is just, it's in a mess. Animals eating animals. You know, that was never the will of God in the beginning, for animals to eat animals. It wasn't. That was not the will of God. They was living off the vegetation. All of us were. But mankind sinned. Sin entered the earth, and man lost control. Look what he goes on to say. Therefore, because of the curse, nature is prevented from putting forth her powers and manifesting her real beauty and grandeur. Creation is gravely handicapped and marred because of the curse, and all that nature produces is doomed to death. Because of the curse, nature is compelled to slay her own offspring. For example, animals devour each other in order to maintain life. But one day, I love this, here's the hope, but one day this will no longer be. Listen at this. The curse will be lifted, and all creation will be delivered from the bondage of corruption and from the slavery of the curse. You know, as born-again believers, the Bible says we have a war within our members. You're born again. You love God. You serve Him the best of your ability. But there's a war in your members. The spirit wars against the flesh. You know, you're born again. You love God. But you come to the crossroads of decision when you're tempted. Temptation. There's coming a day when we're glorified. We will no longer have a tempter within us. I'm longing for the day when I have a glorified body in Christ. There'll be no more war, no more struggle to live for God, you know, in this new glorified body. God, He's going to deliver planet Earth. And it started with the death, burial, and resurrection of His Son. Now, is the Earth eternal? Some people wonder, well, who's going to push that red button that's going to destroy planet Earth? Or either, you know, they got all these different weird ideas about the Earth. But, you know, the Bible is going to tell us here that God made this world to be eternal. And we're going to see it. And we're going to see how God's going to remedy the problem of sin that is in it. Look at this passage here. We're going to see that the earth is eternal. Psalm 104:5. Listen at this. Talking about God. It said, who laid the foundations of the earth that it should not be removed for how long? Help me. How long? Forever. The Bible said God made the foundation of the earth that they should not be removed forever. God made planet Earth to be eternal. Look at this. Ecclesiastes 1:4. One generation passeth away and another generation cometh, but the earth abideth forever. This is always the will of God. This world will exist forever. Look at this. Psalm 148:3-6. Praise ye Him, sun and moon. Praise Him, all ye stars of light. Praise Him, ye heavens of heavens. And ye waters that be above the heavens, let them praise the name of the Lord, for He commandeth, and they were created. He have established them forever and ever. Even the ordinances of the sun, moon, and star, those are eternal ordinances that God have established. Even into the eternal world, we're going to have the sun and the moon and the stars forever. This is how God designed it. He said, He have made a decree which shall not pass. God created everything to be eternal, but He has to fix the problem first, and He did with Christ. Look at this. Genesis 8:22. The scripture says, while the earth remaineth, seed time and harvest, and cold and heat, summer and winter, day and night will not cease. You know, saints, when we go into the eternal world, we're going to still have winter and summer, but it's going to be in a perfect atmosphere. He said, as long as the earth exists, we're going to have seed time and harvest. That was always the will of God. Think about this. If Father Adam had never sinned, where would Father Adam be today? He'd be right here on planet Earth, him and Mom Eve. There'd be no sin in the earth. There'd be no death in the earth. There'd be no curse. There'd be no thorns and thistles on the rose bush. God made the earth for man to live in that world eternally. But when Adam sinned, he interrupted the program of God. But thank God for God's wisdom. In the foreknowledge of God, he said, if Adam sinned, I'm going to make a way of redemption to bring mankind and creation back to me. And this is where we are headed. Our future with God is going to be beautiful. And I love it. Look at this. Proverbs 2:21. He said, for the upright shall dwell in the land. Listen to this. And the perfect shall remain in it. The perfect or the redeemed. We are the perfect. We will be the perfect when we step into the eternal world. The perfect shall remain in it. Look at this. The promise of a new earth in eternity. God has promised us a new earth, something that we can actually have hope in. I am longing for a new earth. This is what keeps me going in the midst of tough times. This is what keeps me going, you know. It gives me hope in the midst of troublesome times. When I see Christians give up, I realize they don't understand the future. If they understand the future, it'll give them hope to hang in there. You know, I like hope. There's an old saying about hope. There's a saying about hope. It says, hope is the rope that causes you to cope. And I love that because we have hope in God. It gives you strength to cope with life. Many Christians are giving up because they don't understand. Now, Dr. Grant Jeffrey, in his book, Journey into Eternity, listen to what he says. He says, the New Jerusalem will descend to the new earth where it will take its place among many new cities on the new earth, but it will not be like other cities. It will always be a very special place. But before that can happen, both heaven and earth must be purified of all sin to prepare them for the future role as the holy home of the Jews and Gentiles under the rule of Messiah. The Bible says that this purification from the pollution of sin will be accomplished by fire. Sin will never exist again in the eternal new heavens and new earth. See, our future is going to be beautiful. God is going to deal with sin. He's going to deal with the curse. He's going to remove all contaminants out of planet Earth. It's going to be beautiful. But before the New Jerusalem can come down, God has to deal with creation. And this is what we're going to see. I love this one. Boy, look at this verse here. I love this. Psalm 102:25-26. Listen to what it says. Of old, thou hast laid the foundation. Talking about God. He's laid the foundations of the earth. And the heavens are the work of thy hands. They shall perish, but thou shalt endure. Listen to this. Yea, all of them shall wax old like a garment. And as a vesture shall thou change them, and they shall be changed. God is saying here that the world is like an old garment. It's like an old vesture that he's going to change. It says here, thou shalt change them and they shall be changed. God's going to change the world. When we step into the eternal world, we're going to see earth in a different light. The Bible, I'm telling you, man, it's going to be beautiful what we're going to experience in the new heavens and the new earth. This world we're living on now is not a home, saints. We're pilgrims passing through. You know, there's a saying, we need to wear this world like a loose garment. You know, a lot of us, we're hunkering down. We just think, this is it. No, this is not it. This is why the New Agers have no hope. They have no hope. They have no hope. Man trying to solve the problem, he can't do it. Now, I want to show you something here. We're going to see something here. This is the book of Revelation, chapter 20. Chapter 20, verse 11 through 15 deals with the great white throne judgment. This is where God is going to judge the unredeemed. Every sinner who has rejected God, they're going to stand before the white throne judgment and give an account of their rejection before God. But as John talks about this event in the scriptures, he's going to give us some insight about what's going to happen with the earth at the time. Look what he says here. And I saw a great white throne, and him, God, that sat on it. Listen to this. From whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no more place for them. Many scholars believe, as well as myself, that at the time of the white throne judgment, this is where planet Earth that we know today is going to go under this fire renovation. I believe that at the white throne judgment, the unredeemed will literally stand before the throne of God. Not only that, but I also believe that we, the redeemed, will also be there, not to be judged, but also to vindicate God's judgment on the unredeemed. It's going to be an amazing event. But at that time, planet Earth is going to go under its renovation. It's going to go under its fire renovation. We're going to see that in a few minutes. Look here at 2 Peter chapter 3, verses 10 through 12. Here the Apostle Peter is going to give us some insight as to what God is going to do, how God is going to renovate this world, how Father God is going to make this world a brand new world. Now, let me ask you something. You remember the first world that was destroyed? How was it destroyed? Come on. How? By flood, by the water, right? God destroyed the first world by water, but the second by what? Fire. This is the verse we're talking about. The second world by fire. Now, let me ask you something. When God destroyed the first world, did he literally destroy planet Earth? The answer is no. He dealt with sin and things that was a part of that world. He's going to do the same thing, except this time, he's going to totally rid the world of sin. While the judgment of the white throne is going on in heaven, the earth that we know today will no longer be. God's going to take it under fire baptism. He's going to renovate it. He's going to straighten out the heavens. We're going to get that canopy that Adam and Eve lost. We're going to have that canopy once the earth is recreated. So let's look at this. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 10 through 11. Peter wrote, he says, "But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in the which," listen at this, "the heavens," plural, that's the sky and the universe, not the third heaven, God's abode, but the sky and the universe. "The heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat." Listen to this. "The earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up." Peter said, "Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of person are you to be in all holy conversation and godliness? Looking for and hastening unto the coming of the day of God, wherein the heavens," plural again, first heaven, second heaven, "the heavens being on fire shall be dissolved, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat." Look at verse 13 and 14. Peter said, "Nevertheless," I love this, "we, according to his promise, look for new heavens," plural, "and a new earth wherein dwells righteousness. Wherefore, beloved, seeing that ye look for such things, be diligent that you be found in him in peace, without spot and without blemish." Peter is telling us that what's going to happen, planet Earth is going to go under a fire renovation. As the white throne judgment takes place, God judge unredeemed. The Bible says this world that we know is going to go under that fire renovation. He's going to refashion this current world. He's going to remove sin. He's going to remove the curse. He's going to deal with the heavens. The Bible said that the heavens are going to be on fire, and the earth shall also melt. He's going to renovate it. It's going to be amazing. The creator God is going to work this thing, man. It's going to be beautiful. Now, you know, believe it or not, we live in a sinful world now. My wife and I, we travel all over the world. Even in a sinful world today, we still see some beautiful places. I mean, the world is contaminated with sin, but there's still beauty in this world. Can you imagine what the new earth is going to look like without sin, without a devil? Man, it's going to be beautiful. This is the eternal home of the redeemed. Look at this. The scripture says here in Psalm, it said Psalm 37, 11, "But the meek shall inherit the earth." Now, we read that verse in the Beatitudes, and we just totally just read right past it. Do we really understand what he's saying there? He says, "But the meek shall inherit the earth." Now, if I tell you that I have a $1 million inheritance for you, that would make you very happy, wouldn't it? You wouldn't be happy? I would be happy. I'd be dancing up here, man. I got $1 million inherited. I'm dancing. If your aunt said, "I have $100,000 inheritance for you," it's going to change your world. The Bible says here that the meek shall inherit the earth. He's talking about the new earth that God's going to prepare for us. And shall delight themselves in the abundance of peace. This new world is going to be full of peace. Psalm 37:29, it says, the righteous shall inherit the land and dwell therein how long? Forever. This is talking about the eternal world. We're going to live forever in the new world. Forever. Matthew 5:5, Jesus quoting Psalm, blessed are the meek. Jesus said this. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. It's talking about the new earth. We're not even going to inherit this world. This world is contaminated. We got thorns and thistles. We got smog. We have calamity. We have tornadoes and storms and hurricanes and blizzards. The Gospel of John, chapter 14. Look what Jesus said. 14, verse 2 and 3. Jesus said, in my Father's house are many mansions or dwelling places. He said, if it were not so, I would have told you. He said, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you will be also. Jesus said, I'm going to prepare a place for you, a dwelling place. You know, saints, this is the promise that I'm looking forward to. I'm looking forward to the day where I'm going to have the place that my Savior has prepared for me. He said, mansions or dwelling place. I'm going to have a dwelling place in eternity. And I'm inviting every one of you to come to my house. It's going to be awesome, man. I'm having tomatoes in the back and watermelons in the back. Oh, it's going to be awesome. I told Lord, I said, Father, out front of my house, I want two lions, Leo and Cleo. It's going to be awesome, man. My eternity with God, I believe the word. God have prepared, Jesus, I prepare a place for you. This is my eternity. This is where my hope is, saints. Look at this in the book of Hebrews 11:16. The writer said, talking about the patriarchs of old, he said, but now, the patriarchs of old, Hebrews 11 is the hall of faith. The patriarchs of old, they longed for the promise, but they didn't get it in their natural life. But they had a hope that was beyond their current world, and therefore it kept them strong. So look at the writer, Hebrews 11:16 says, but now they desire a better country, that is, an heavenly, wherefore God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he have prepared for them a city. Listen, saints, we're going to have an eternal world with God. It's going to be so beautiful. He's prepared a city for us. Look at verse 14. The writer wrote, he says, for here, this current world, for here we have no continuing cities. In other words, we don't have eternal cities in this world, but we seek one to come. We seek a city that's going to be eternal, that's going to continue forever and ever and ever and ever and ever. Now, a lot of times it's kind of hard for us to comprehend that with our minds that have been touched by sin. But let me tell you something. This is the hope that God has set before us that we can long for. These are prophecies that's going to literally come to pass. We can trust God because he's done everything else he said he's going to do. Now, the New Jerusalem in eternity. I love this. Dr. David Jeremiah in his book, Escape the Coming Night, said this. He said, the longing for a future glorious city of God can be traced back as far as the Old Testament patriarchs. Abraham was looking for a city with foundations whose architect and builder is God. Hebrews 11:10. Paul mentioned this city in his letter to the Galatians. He called it the Jerusalem which is above. Galatians 4:26. The New Jerusalem is just one of several names given to this future city of God. It is also called the Holy City, the Heavenly Jerusalem, and Mount Zion. You know, Jerusalem here today does have God's heart. It's the apple of God's eye. But you know something? This future Jerusalem is where his heart really is. Because in the New Jerusalem is where we're going to be with him. This is God's really heart longing. But he's not going to bring that Jerusalem on a contaminated world. He has to deal with the contaminants before he dropped this New Jerusalem down on planet Earth. So I want to take you now to Revelation chapter 21. Many of us know the passage, but I'm just going to remind you. Chapter 21, Revelation verses 1 and 2. John said, And I saw a new Jerusalem, a new heaven and a new earth. Listen at this. For the first heaven and the first earth were passed away. In other words, the world that we once knew no longer existed. John now sees this new, renovated, created world of God. And he said, I see a new heaven and a new earth. He said, for the first earth and first heaven were passed away. Listen at this. And there was no more sea. On the new world, there will be no seas upon the new world. Some scholars believe that it could be because of population, God will have more land mass. We don't know. We'll find out when we get there. But for some reason, there will be no more seas on the new earth. And there will be rivers, streams, oceans. The reason why we know that, because God said that those won't be there. He didn't say that they would be there, wouldn't be there. So we can take for granted that they will be there. But for some reason, no more seas. He said, and I, John, saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. John literally sees the new earth. He's going to see the new earth. And then he's going to see the new Jerusalem that God's prepared. It's going to rest, come down upon the brand new earth. Look what he says. Verse 3. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men. That's my Moses voice from the Ten Commandments movie. You know, I love, we just watched the Ten Commandments movie. It comes on every Easter holiday. And I have the movie, I own the movie, but I like to see the movie on TV, you know. It's tradition. This is 51 years they've showed. And I love the part when it comes in and God is, he's making the Ten Commandments, you know. Thou shalt not kill. I mean, I just love that voice, you know, I just love it. Anyway, the tabernacle of God is with men. And he will dwell with them. The tabernacle is the house of God. You said, in my father's house are many mansions. The tabernacle of God, the house of God, is going to rest upon the new earth. He says, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them and be their God. He said, we're going to be with God on the new earth. This is our eternity, saints. We're going to be with God forever. This is always the will of God. We're going to spend eternity with him. Look at this. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. I'm going to talk a little bit more about that in a few minutes, but he's going to wipe away all tears. And there shall be no more death. Can you imagine a world without death, without sorrow, without losing loved ones? No more death, no more sorrow, no more crying. Neither shall there be any more pain. He's going to put all the aspirin companies, the ibuprofen companies, put them all out of business. There'll be no drug stores in the new world. There'll be no funeral homes in the new world. No graveyards in the new world. It's going to be awesome. He said, neither there shall there be pain, for the former things are passed away. And he that sat upon the throne said, behold, I make all things new. And he said unto me, write, these words are true and faithful. God says these words are true and faithful. You can trust what I'm telling you. They're faithful words. You can trust me. He's going to do everything he said he's going to do. Now, this new Jerusalem, the Bible tells us a lot about it. Just in a little outline here, this city, it's going to be massive, 1,500 miles square. It's going to have 12 gates. The gate's going to have the 12 tribes' names on top of it. Each gate will be made out of a pearl. The Bible talks about there'll be three gates to the north, the south, and the east, and the west. The scripture says that the wall of the city, or the walls of the foundation, were decked with all manner of precious stones. The 12 apostles' names will be written in the foundation of the city. It's going to sit on 12 foundations with the apostles' names written in it. Now, just I'm going to throw this out just for extra. We call it land yap in Louisiana, a little bit extra. I believe that one of the names of the foundations of the city will be the name of Apostle Paul. The reason why I believe that, after Judas committed suicide, that the disciples, they drew straws and chose Matthias. Well, that's gambling. They're drawing straws. You don't hear nothing about Matthias. I mean, not that he wasn't saved, but Matthias, you hear nothing in the scripture, but the Apostle Paul you do hear. So I believe that Apostle Paul will be one of the foundational names of the New Jerusalem. Again, the city is 1,500 miles square. It's garnished with all manner of precious stone. The street of the city is made of transparent gold. Can you imagine walking on gold, ladies? You like fine things, jewelry? Oh, yeah, it's going to be all decked. in the new world. The city had no need of the sun or moon to shine in it because God and the Lamb is the light of it. And I want to address something here. Many people have read the verse and they said that because God will be on the earth, there'll be no more sun and no more moon. That's not true. This is talking about in the New Jerusalem, in the city. God the Father and the Lamb will be in the city. And because of the glory of God, his glory will be so glorious that he will outshine the sun. But on the other side of the earth, the ordinance of the sun, moon, and star will still be in effect. This is not saying that God's going to do away with the sun. As I read through in the psalm, it said that these are eternal ordinances that God has established forever. So down in Australia, they're going to still see the sun rise. That was always the will of God. Look at this. I love this one. The tree of life was in the city for all to eat. It's going to yield a new fruit every month. You know, the tree of life after Adam and Eve sinned from the tree of knowledge of good and evil. The Bible said that God blocked Adam and Eve and he cast them out of the garden on the east so they couldn't eat of the tree of life in sin. No longer do you hear about the tree of life until you get to the book of Revelation after God has remedied the problem of sin. Now that sin has been remedied, God places the tree of life back on planet Earth. And guess what, saints? We, the righteous, the redeemed, can eat of the tree of life. The Bible said the tree is going to bear a new fruit every month. And guess what? Every month, Brother Perkins is going to be at the tree. New fruit? I'm there. Isn't this? It says the leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. This is talking about those people that are born again during the time of the millennial kingdom. It doesn't tell us that the natural believers from the millennium will be glorified. It doesn't say that at all. But I believe that these natural believers who are born again by the billions, I believe, in the millennial kingdom, because they are born again, they will have a right to the tree of life. The Bible says here that they will eat of the leaves of the trees, a tree of life, for their healing. This is when they're going to get their eternal life physically. God's going to heal them. Now, the glorified will already be glorified. Look at this. And there shall be no more curse in the earth. It's going to be a pure river of water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding from the throne of God. I'm almost done. The living conditions. Now, I love this part because the living conditions will be just like we're living today. See, again, we have made the future so spooky. Ooh, ooh. We made it weird. You know, eternity is going to be practical, tangible, touchable. You may come to my house, turn my doorknob and come into my house. Tangible, touchable, feelable. When I realized that eternity is going to be a tangible eternity, it adds value to eternity. It wasn't some pie in the sky, some by and by. Listen, God has prepared and preparing a beautiful place for the redeemed. So the living conditions. We know that based on the word of God, that eternity or the eternal world will be just like today, but with many additions. We're going to have the same world, but it's going to be a world that's renovated. Look at this. I love this picture. Artist rendition. We better go and see Jesus and just talk to him. You know what I'm longing for today? I can talk with the prophets. Prophet Daniel. I'm going to go see Daniel. I'm going to go by Daniel's house. Prophet Daniel, how was it in the lion's den? Talk to me, brother. I'm going to talk to the Hebrew boys in the fire. Tell me, explain to me how you boys felt. Father Abraham, we'll be able to fellowship with the righteous. Let me tell you, it's going to be awesome. Look at this. Revelation 21, 22. God himself and the Lamb will be in the city. They're going to live in the city. There'll be, again, be no more death at all in the earth. Nothing will die in the new earth. There will be no more crying or pain or sufferings forever. Now, some people tell me, well, Brother Perkins, if I go into the eternal world and my loved one is not there, that would not be eternity. I would cry forever not having my loved one with me. Well, I believe the scripture is going to give us a little hope here. I love this passage. Look at this. Isaiah 65, 17. Look what God said he's going to do. He said, for behold, I create new heavens and a new earth, and the former shall not be remembered nor come into mind. Let me tell you something. The things that we have left behind, he said that they will no longer come into our mind. The former, everything that's behind, He's going to wipe away all tears, and I believe he'll wipe away even the memory of those that didn't make it. He said the former things, they won't even come into your mind. One translation said they won't come into your heart, the former things. There will be nations in the new world, and they will bring their glory into the city. You know, nations on the outskirts of New Jerusalem? Nations was always the will of God. Yeah, it's going to be beautiful. This is the home of the redeemed. I got a few more and then we're done. Satan nor his angels will be a part of the new earth. God's going to judge Satan. Revelation 20:10, my favorite verse in the Bible. And the devil that deceived them shall be cast into the lake of fire and shall be tormented day and night forever and ever. Revelation 20:10, the devil does not control hell. Don't believe the lie. I was taught all my life that the devil controlled hell. I was taught all my life that, you know, I was so taught this that I saw a movie way back, Sammy Davis Jr., they had a movie called The Poor Devil. And in this movie, Sammy Davis Jr. was in hell. Satan had offices set up in hell. I mean, people typing in hell. And Sammy Davis Jr., his job was to throw coals on the fire, keep the fire going. Now, I'm a young kid, impressionable kid, looking at this sitcom, a movie, and I said, you know something? When I go to hell, that's the job I want. I'm going to put the coals on. I'm going to keep them sinners burning. You know something? Satan does not control hell at all. As a matter of fact, the devil's afraid of hell because it's a judgment of God created by God for the devil. Satan will not be a part of our eternity forever. There will be no sinners on earth, only the righteous. We will have homes and dwelling places forever. And we, at this time, will inherit all the earth as God promised us. Listen, saints, our eternity with God is going to be so beautiful. As I close with this last promise again, Peter said, nevertheless, we, according to his promise, look for new heavens and a new earth wherein dwells righteousness. Wherefore, beloved, seeing that you look for such things, are you looking for the eternal world? Is all your hope tied to this one? He said, if your hopes are tied here, you're a miserable believer. Your hope has to go beyond this present world. He said, wherefore, beloved, seeing that you look for such things, be diligent that you may be found of him in peace, without spot and blameless. And what we do, saints, we just trust God's word. You know, I barely scraped the surface of eternity. I mean, it's going to be beautiful. But, you know, God wants us to understand. He wants us to long for it. He wants us to look for it. You know, I'm ready. I mean, God can interrupt my plans. People tell me, you know, I don't want the rapture to take place right now. I say, come, Lord. Come, Lord Jesus. You can mess up my day anytime by just interrupting with the rapture. I'm ready to go. I'm tired. Are you tired of your old bodies? I'll be 60 in September. And man, I got Gray coming in from everywhere. Man, where is Gray coming from? I got the old man anthem. I told you about that. I'm tired of this world. We need to wear it like a loose garment. Now, it doesn't mean we're heavenly minded, that we're not earthly good. Let the future affect you in the present. I want you to bow your hearts as we close. Father, we love you. And again, we thank you so much. Oh, Lord, you have so beautifully placed in the scripture our eternity. Lord, the end of the story for the redeemed will be eternal bliss. Lord, it's going to be beautiful as we live eternity with you. Lord, as we live eternity with our family members that are with us. As we live eternity, dear God, with the patriarchs, Abraham, Daniel, David, the patriarchs of old. Lord, as we see, oh God, what you prepared for us. Lord, help us, oh God, never to lose sight of the future. Again, Lord, help us, dear God, to understand. Help us to study this. Help us to get this where we know it. Where when we talk to those in the world, Lord, we can make them jealous. We can show them your plan and what you have in store for us. Now, Lord, I just want to pray a blessing on this conference. The leaders, the board of this conference, those that have vision for this conference, those that have attended, those who have sacrificed and they've paid monies to come and be a part of it. Lord, bless them for their investment in this conference. Now, Lord, let this word again stir our hearts to be effective evangelists. Let us reach a lost world that don't know you. Now, Lord, we love you and we thank you now. In Jesus' name, amen.